restaurant was open previously. I hope this addresses your concerns. He looked around the room and back at the selectmen before taking a seat. Tom Goodwin addressed the room.
We will have a short discussion and then a vote on the matter.
They spoke for just a few minutes before voting and unanimously agreed to approve Rhett's restaurant.
Congratulations, Lisa said softly.
Thank you. Your turn now. Next up, we have a request from Lisa Hodges to operate a bed and breakfast out of her home. The name of the business would be the Beach Plum Cove Inn, with 5 rooms to rent. She is planning to be open year-round. She has no experience in hospitality and has not worked in over 30 years. There are no other such businesses in Beach Plum Cove. Are there any objections to granting this request?
Lisa was surprised and dismayed to see 3 women raise their hands. One of them was Lillian Hardy, wife of Ben Hardy, the man who objected to Rhett's restaurant. Lillian ran a bed and breakfast out of their home, which was located next door to her husband's restaurant.
There is no need for another bed and breakfast. Ours is right over the town line, and we are more than able to meet the demand for this area. Adding another bed and breakfast would be too much. It's simply not needed, and it's not fair to existing businesses.
Lisa had never particularly cared for Lillian. She was one of those people who seemed to know everyone's business and had an opinion about it.
Thank you, Lillian. Dawn Jacobs, it's your turn to speak.
Dawn was Lillian's mother and lived with them. She was in her 80s and had perfectly coiffed white hair cut into a chin-length bob. She was beautifully dressed and tiny, barely 5 feet tall. But she had a presence about her, and she wasn't the least bit shy or afraid to state her opinion.
I have to agree with my daughter. There's simply no need for this business in Beach Plum Cove. There are plenty of fine hotels and lovely bed and breakfasts that already exist. Why should their businesses suffer?
Ms. Jones, you have the floor.
Violet Jones, a stunning woman in her late 30s with long blonde hair, stood and looked around the room.
I'm against this business. I live a few doors down from Lisa Hodges, and I'm not keen on the idea of more traffic on our street and strangers coming and going at all hours. Beach Plum Cove is a lovely village, and there's simply no need for this kind of thing here.
Mrs. Hodges, you may have the floor to address these concerns.
Lisa stood slowly and hoped her nerves wouldn't get in her way. She took a deep breath and looked around the room.
Part of the reason I decided to do this is that there is no place to stay in Beach Plum Cove. The nearest hotel or bed and breakfast is Lillian Hardy's business, but that's 5 miles away, and it's a long walk to our beach from there.
Lillian sniffed and glared as Lisa spoke, but Lisa didn't back down.
My home is on the water with a private beach. Guests that stay with me will have access to that, and there are very few bed and breakfasts that are actually on the ocean. Most of them are downtown. I believe that there is a demand for what the Beach Plum Cove Inn could offer. Regarding Violet's concerns, I am only planning to rent 5 rooms. It should have little to no impact on traffic.
Is there anyone else with any concerns or who wish to speak in support of this request?
Lisa was surprised when Rhett raised his hand. When told he could speak, he stood and addressed the room.
I'm in favor of granting this request. I'm currently renting one of Mrs. Hodges' rooms, and it's lovely. Her breakfast is wonderful, and you can't beat the location. Another thing to consider is that she doesn't need your permission to rent her rooms out. She can do that simply by listing them on Airbnb. She would like to be able to put a sign up and advertise her business, which she cannot do unless you approve her request. Thank you. All right, thank you all. We will discuss and have an answer for you shortly.
Lisa waited on pins and needles while the board discussed her request. When they voted, it was 3-4 and 4 against. Kristen looked distressed and reached over to grab her hand and gave it a squeeze. Lisa was frustrated and confused. How could they vote against her business? Tom Goodwin stood and addressed the room.
The board has decided at this time not to grant Lisa Hodges' request, since, as Rhett stated, she can still operate her business via Airbnb. The board feels that it would be a good first step to see how that goes before granting full approval to make her home an official bed and breakfast. Thank you all for attending tonight and for making your voices heard.
So that's it then? Kate looked furious as they stood to leave.
They'll grant it eventually, Rhett said. My guess is a few of the board members are friends with the Hardys, and while they agreed to my request, it looks like they are listening to the Hardys by denying yours. Just keep doing what you're doing. Even without the official sign, I expect you'll do just fine by listing with Airbnb. As you said, you're one of the few bed and breakfasts that is actually on the beach.
I suppose so, Lisa said. It wasn't the outcome that she'd hoped for, but she wasn't ready to give up yet. With Rhett staying for more months and any other business Airbnb might send her way, she still felt as though her bed and breakfast could be a good thing. Well, this is a disappointment. But I have an idea, Kate said. What is it? I don't want to say too much in case it doesn't work, but I may have a way to get the word out without actually advertising. A week later, Lisa was feeling a bit discouraged that there had been no further reservations or even inquiries from Airbnb. She'd checked her email every morning, but she reminded herself that it wasn't exactly the high season on Nantucket. Still, she thought she would have received at least one inquiry, even if it was for future dates during the summer. So she decided not to check her email before settling down to breakfast. She didn't want to start the day feeling disappointed. Instead, she would enjoy sharing her morning meal with Rhett. She ate with him most mornings now. He was an early riser and was usually in the dining room a little past 8 a.m., and he always asked her to join him. He said he welcomed the company, and truth be told, she enjoyed talking to him, too. This morning, she'd made an egg white scramble with peppers and onions and chicken and apple sausage. It was healthy and tasty, and Rhett went back for a second helping, which made her happy. While he was refilling his plate, she turned on her phone, and it beeped, indicating she had new emails. She clicked and read through them and was pleasantly surprised to see not one, but three reservation requests from Airbnb. Two were for summer dates, but one was for the following week, a couple that was going to be arriving from England.
What do you look so happy about? Some good news arrived by email?
Rhett teased her as he sat down. Yes, actually. She told him about the new reservations and then laughed as her phone beeped again with another reservation for the following month. I'm not sure where all this is coming from, Lisa said as Kate walked into the room and made herself a coffee. She had caught her mother's comments and looked pleased as she sat down to join them. You've gotten some interest? She asked. Yes. Is this from something you've done? Kate nodded. I wasn't sure if it would work, but I had a feeling that it might. I wrote up a press release and a blog post and emailed some friends I know in the Boston area. They helped to spread the word, publishing the press release and sharing the blog post where I told all about your Nantucket bed and breakfast and how you were denied by the board, yet had oceanfront rooms available to rent. And I included a link to your listing on Airbnb. Thank you. Whatever you did worked. She told Kate about the flurry of reservations that had come in. Good, I'm glad to hear it. I also looked into this a bit more, and you can bring this up again in a few months. So, you might still be approved before the busy season hits. That would be ideal, Lisa laughed. And maybe by then, I'll know what I'm doing. I'll have more experience.
I think you're doing just fine. You're a natural,
Rhett said. And Lisa felt warm inside. She was growing to enjoy his company, and she'd noticed that he didn't wear a wedding ring. She'd Googled him again and learned that he'd been married twice. He divorced his second wife about 5 years ago and had two adult children that both lived in New York City.
"What are you up to today, honey?" Lisa asked as Kate got up to take a cinnamon raisin bagel out of the toaster.
"I'm heading to the library to work on a new project. I'm going to look through some of the old newspaper archives to research the island's history of murders."
"Murders? Is that for a new assignment?"
Lisa knew that Kate had turned in her feature on the film festival just the day before.
"No, though Amanda said she will have something else for me by the end of the week. I thought that I might try my hand at writing a murder mystery."
Lisa knew that Kate had always wanted to write a book.
"I think that's great. Will you set it on Nantucket then?"
"Yes, they say you should write about what you know. I thought I could maybe find an interesting old murder and base a story around it."
"Stories set on Nantucket seem to sell pretty well. I've bought a few myself,"
Rhett said.
"I like to read the occasional mystery."
"I do too. I'm excited to see what you come up with, Kate.
What are you up to today?" Kate asked.
"Laundry. I'm meeting Sue for a late lunch, and I'm going to try to make a yoga class at 4.
"You don't have to do laundry right now, do you?"
Rhett asked.
"I could do it later, I suppose. Why do you ask?"
"You asked me about the renovation yesterday, and I'm heading over there now to see how the hardwood floors are coming along. I'd love to show you what I have planned if you feel like taking a ride."
Lisa hesitated for a moment until Kate spoke up.
"That sounds like fun. You should go, Mom."
Lisa stood quickly.
"Of course, I'd love to."
She followed Rhett to his truck and climbed into the passenger side. It was a work truck, but it was nicer than most, with soft leather seats, and she caught a sweet hint of vanilla from the air freshener dangling from his rearview window. It was a beautiful day, sunny and clear, though cold. Typical January weather on the island. The restaurant wasn't even a mile away, and they pulled up just a few minutes later. The building was a classic Cape Cod style with weathered gray shingles and white wooden shutters on all the windows. Lisa was impressed by the new deck, which was very big and, according to Rhett, was just finished 2 days ago.
"It's beautiful. I can't believe it went up so fast," he grinned.
"I was pretty optimistic about my chances and had these guys all lined up to start working the next day. Come inside."
She followed him in and looked around, trying to picture how it might look when it was finished. The room was large and open. Three guys were finishing laying the hardwood floors, and she and Rhett were standing on the section that was already finished. The dark wood looked to be of high quality and glistened as the sun came through the windows and fell upon it.
"The flooring is lovely."
"Isn't it? I have this same wood at my Boston restaurants, too."
Rhett walked her all around the room, explaining what his plans were.
"I'm going to make these windows bigger to let in more light and capture more of these gorgeous views. This is really a great spot, don't you think?"
Lisa smiled. His enthusiasm was contagious.
"It is. I was sad when it closed."
"Once people try my food, this place is going to take off. The location is great, but it's the food that will bring them back."
He was confident, and Lisa believed him. She looked forward to the restaurant opening.
"How soon do you think you'll be ready to open?"
It still looked a long way away from being done to her. But she knew that things often moved fast as they got near the end.
"The goal is April. I want to be open for Daffodil Weekend."
The Daffodil Festival was held near the end of April, and many viewed it as the official kickoff weekend to the summer season. There were events all weekend, among them an antique car parade and tailgate picnic. It would be a big weekend on the island, and if word got out that the restaurant would be open, Lisa imagined that they might be quite busy, with both locals and visitors who were curious to check the new place out.
That's a great idea.
I have an antique car I'll bring over for it, too, and park it right out front. It's a real beauty. A 1966 Jaguar Roadster. My daughter said she'd drive it down for me.
Oh, it will be nice for you to see her.
Alex is a great girl. She manages my flagship restaurant in Manhattan.
Does your other daughter work there, too? She knew that they both lived in New York City.
No, Jess is an attorney. She just got engaged a few weeks ago.
How exciting. Lisa liked how Rhett's face lit up when he talked about his daughters.
I like the guy she's engaged to. She's known him since law school, and he's already almost part of the family. She might have the wedding here, if I can talk her into it. I'd give my chances about 50-50, he said.
A half hour later, he dropped her off at the house and was going to head back to the restaurant. Before she got out of the car, Lisa impulsively invited him to join her and Kate for dinner. If you don't have plans, of course. I have a beef stew simmering in the crock pot, and it's much more than Kate and I can eat.
You had me at beef stew, Rhett grinned. Thank you for the invite. I'd love to join you both.
Chapter 9. The smell of bread baking wafted upstairs to Kate's bedroom, and she smiled. Her mother had nervously told Kate earlier that she'd invited Rhett to dinner, and Kate thought it was a great idea. Kate liked Rhett and thought he might be good company for her mother, and if it turned romantic, well, even better. Rhett was night and day different from her father. Brian had been more of an indoors guy, not very good at building things or fishing or anything overly physical. She knew her parents had a good marriage, though, except for the gambling addiction that her father had somehow managed to hide. In retrospect, though, she realized that they'd never thought much of it because her father acted like going to the casino was a fun hobby, and he always spoke of winning or occasionally losing very small amounts, so it was all in good fun. When, in actuality, he'd sometimes lost very large amounts, but hid his losses with lies and a smile. If anything, Kate thought these next few months might be good for her mother. Spending some time with Rhett, even if it was strictly as friends, might help her transition into actually dating again. Meanwhile, Kate was trying to figure out what to wear for a date that she didn't really want to be a date. Philippe had called a few days ago and left a message inviting her to go with him to the opening of a new art gallery. The owner, Andrew Everly, was from New York City and used to summer on Nantucket growing up. The name wasn't familiar to Kate, but she thought that Kristen might know of it. But she'd never heard of him either. When Kate had wavered about whether to accept the invitation, Kristen had insisted that she go so that she could get the inside scoop on the new place, but also to give Philippe a chance. She reminded her that it was just a first date, and there didn't have to be a second one. Kate decided to wear her favorite black dress pants and a long, pale blue cashmere sweater with a simple white top layered under it. She ran a curling iron through her hair to give it some loose waves, pulled on her leather boots, and she was ready to go. She popped into the kitchen on her way out and saw that Rhett had just arrived and was leaning against the kitchen island as her mother poured wine for both of them. She looked up when she heard Kate come in. Oh, you look nice, honey. She handed Rhett his wine. Kate won't be joining us for dinner. She has a date tonight.
Well, that sounds more fun than dinner with us, Rhett said.
Kate laughed. I don't know about that. Mom's beef stew is amazing, and I could smell the bread baking from upstairs.
I could too. I was very happy to follow the smell and appreciate the invitation.
Rhett smiled at her mother as Kate checked the time. She needed to get going. Have a good night. I'll see you later. Philippe had offered to pick her up, but Kate told him that she'd meet him at the gallery. They lived in opposite directions, and the gallery was in the middle, downtown by the pier. Plus, Kate liked driving herself, as it gave her more control on when she was able to leave. Parking was always an issue on Nantucket, though. Kate managed to find a spot in the main lot closest to the pier. She saw Philippe waiting outside the gallery. He waved when he saw her. It looked like a good crowd had already gathered. The building was two old gift shops that had been renovated and combined into one gallery.
I thought we'd grab a bite to eat at the club car after we roam around here a bit, Philippe said as they walked inside.
That sounds perfect. The club car was one of Kate's favorite restaurants, and it was just a short walk from the gallery. Kate's first thought as they began to walk slowly around the room, looking at the paintings, was that she wished Kristen could see it. It was a beautiful space, with all white walls and exposed brick that had also been painted white, so that all the colors of the paintings stood out. A server came by offering flutes of champagne. Philippe took two and handed one to her. As they continued to walk around, a few other servers drifted by carrying trays of stuffed mushrooms and spanakopita. The little phyllo pillows stuffed with spinach and cheese were delicious. Kate only had one of each, though, so she wouldn't ruin her appetite for dinner.
Kate, this is Andrew Everly. We were just admiring the gallery. You've done a great job here.
Andrew was as tall as Philippe and a bit leaner. His hair was almost black and his eyes a pretty hazel that popped against his light skin. Kate guessed he had some Irish in his background, maybe. He had an artsy look about him, with a black t-shirt, blazer, jeans, and black-rimmed glasses.
Thank you.
Andrew held his hand out and Kate shook it.
It's nice to meet you, Kate.
Andrew and I met in college. We both went to NYU. He's the one who first introduced me to Nantucket.
Andrew nodded.
My parents have a place here, and we came for the first film festival over a long weekend. Philippe is the one who told me about this building when it became available.
Kate was intrigued. She hadn't realized they were such good friends. Will you be living here year-round? Or splitting your time between here and New York? Do you have a gallery there, too?
I have several, actually. But they are well established now, and I have good people that work for me, so I don't have to be there all the time. I'll be going back and forth as needed, but I hope to be here for long stretches of time.
They chatted for a few minutes, and Kate liked Andrew quite a bit. She noticed that he wasn't wearing a ring and couldn't help thinking that she'd love for Kristen to meet him. She hoped that Kristen really was serious about ending things with Sean. It sounded like she was, but Kate had heard it before, and Kristen hadn't followed through in the past.
I should probably go mingle more,
Andrew said as they saw someone coming their way.
It was nice talking to you, Kate.
They stayed for another 20 minutes or so, and Kate was amused that Philippe seemed to know so many people there. Kristen had mentioned that she'd often seen him out at these kinds of events, though. She recognized a few people herself, among them Violet Jones, the neighbor who had spoken out at the meeting to oppose the Beach Plum Cove Inn. Violet was overdressed, in Kate's opinion, although she did look gorgeous. She was wearing expensive black high heels, which Kate could see were the designer Louboutin, as the bottom of the shoe was famously red. Her dress was, too, a bright fire engine red that was impossible to miss, especially with her tall, curvy figure. Her blonde hair cascaded down her back in a carefully arranged tumble of waves, and her makeup was perfect. Her lipstick even matched her dress. Violet raised her eyes when she saw Kate. Philippe had gone to get them more champagne, and Kate was admiring one of the paintings, a watercolor of Nantucket Harbor.
Kate, I'm surprised to see you here, Violet said.
Really? Why is that? Kate replied coolly.
Well, I've just never seen you at these type of things before.
I've been living in Boston. I've only been home for a few weeks.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. I heard you lost your job.
Violet sounded anything but sorry as Philippe returned and handed Kate a glass of champagne. Thank you. Philippe, do you know my mother's neighbor, Violet Jones?
No, I don't. It's nice to meet you.
He held out his hand and Violet took it, holding it a moment longer than necessary. We have met, actually, at an art show last spring, Violet reminded him.
Oh, that's right.
Philippe casually put his arm around Kate and pulled her close.
Now I know why your name sounds familiar. You spoke out against Kate's mother at the Board of Selectmen meeting.
Violet suddenly looked uncomfortable as she realized that Kate and Philippe were together and that Philippe was not likely to fall under her charms. If you'd both excuse me, I see someone I need to talk to. Have a great night. Kate watched with amusement as Violet slithered off. Philippe relaxed his arm and took a step away.
I don't care for her much,
he said. Kate laughed. Well, that makes two of us. I don't know why she was so against my mother's bed and breakfast proposal.
I suspect she likes to be difficult.
They walked around a little more until they'd seen everything in the gallery, and then said their goodbyes to Andrew and made their way to the club car for dinner. When they walked into the club car, the hostess, a very pretty younger woman with long dark hair and a perfect glowing complexion, came right over to them and gave Philippe a hug. How have you been? Your favorite table just opened up. I can take you right over. Kate smiled. Apparently, the club car was one of Philippe's favorite restaurants, too.
Great to see you again, Olivia. Do you know Kate Hodges?
The younger woman smiled and looked as though she was trying hard to place Kate, but failed. I'm local, but just recently moved back to the island. It's nice to meet you, Kate said. You as well. Olivia scooped up two menus and led them to a pretty corner table with pale blue cushions and a white tabletop. It was a small restaurant, but not too crowded. Kate preferred to come in the off-season. During the summer, all the restaurants along the pier were packed, as tourists went there after getting off the ferries. Andrea, we'll be right with you to get your drinks order. Kate noticed a brief moment of hesitation flash across her face, but Olivia smiled as she walked off, so she didn't think anything of it. Until she saw a very pretty blonde girl walk their way and then stop short and go back into the kitchen. A minute later, a different waitress with short, dark hair came to their table. Good evening, I'm Penny and I'll be taking care of you tonight. Can I get you something to drink? Kate ordered a Chardonnay and Philippe got a Dewars and water. I thought Olivia said Andrea was going to be our server. I noticed another girl coming over here first and then she went back into the kitchen. Isn't that strange? Philippe looked a bit uncomfortable.
I think that may be because of me. I was a regular here for a while. More so than I am now, and I dated a few of the waitresses. Andrea was one. She's a lovely girl, but she wanted to be a little more serious than I did.
Kate considered that as Penny returned with their drinks and set them down. She told them the specials for the night, and then Philippe put in an order for the grilled local oysters with cilantro butter for the two of them to share. They both decided on the roasted cod with hazelnut Romanesco for their entree. Penny took their menus and returned a few minutes later with a basket of hot bread and butter. Did you date Olivia too? Kate asked. The hostess seemed unusually friendly, and her eyes had lit up when she saw Philippe.
No, she's a bit young for me.
He paused and then added,
She does keep inviting me to her parties, though. We know a lot of the same people, and she does throw a good party.
Kate ripped a piece of bread in half and spread butter on it.
What are you doing this weekend?
Philippe asked as he reached for the bread. Probably starting to move my things to my mother's friend's house. Why?
I have to go to LA for a few days. Why don't you come with me?
You want me to come with you to California? What would we do there?
Well, I have to meet with a few people at the studio, but that won't take long. We can take a ride up the coast, have dinner overlooking the ocean in Malibu, or go to Spago in Hollywood for the best pizza you've ever had.
And where would we stay?
I usually get a suite at the Four Seasons. The king-sized bed is super comfy.
He winked, and Kate knew that many women would find his offer irresistible. She was tempted for about 2 seconds. You remind me a bit of my ex. We just recently broke up.
Oh, how so?
He was a charmer. Too handsome for his own good, and let's just say he loved women and enjoyed the attention. Philippe grinned.
You think I'm charming and handsome? That sounds like a good thing.
Kate laughed. That's all you heard? Yes, you're obviously attractive. I think we may be looking for different things, though. She hesitated for a moment, trying to find the right words. She really did like Philippe, but not in the way that he wanted her to. I wasn't really looking to date anyone yet, but when I am, it will be someone who wants something more serious. I don't really do casual. She took a bite of bread and added, but I would love to be friends. I really do enjoy your company. We have a lot in common, and aside from my sisters, I don't have many friends here. Most of the people I grew up with have moved off island. Philippe sighed and took Kate's hand and gave it a squeeze.
I think you're amazing. I wish I could tell you that I'm ready for something more serious, but I like you too much to lie to you.
He grinned.
I'm not sure I ever will be, to be perfectly honest. I'm not in any hurry to settle down. I'm having too much fun. I have to travel quite a bit too, and that's hard on any relationship. It's just easier to keep things light.
Kate squeezed his hand back and let it go. She really liked him and was glad that he'd confirmed her suspicions. Penny arrived with their grilled oysters and set them down in the middle of the table.
You have to try one of these. They are incredible.
Philippe reached for an oyster that was so hot the steam was coming off it. Kate took a moment to let it cool. I will, she smiled. You know, I think that eventually you're going to be shocked when you meet the right person and she knocks you off your feet. You won't want to date anyone else.
I'm not so sure about that, but one never knows.
Philippe looked skeptical, and Kate wondered if he might be right. After all, Dylan had sworn that he was a changed man. Kate decided to change the subject. So, I went to the library today and did some research for my book. My next step will be making an outline. Does that take you very long? She popped one of the grilled oysters in her mouth. The flavors were as good as Philippe had promised.
It doesn't take me long at all. I don't outline.
Kate had assumed that she needed to make an extensive outline to plan her book and where she needed to go. You don't? But how do you know what you need to write each day?
He laughed. I tried to outline once, and it sucked all the joy out of the story for me. But I know some people swear by it. You should definitely try it and see if it helps you. It's more fun for me to discover the story as I go.
That sounds so much harder. Kate had always been a planner. She couldn't imagine just sitting down and staring at a blank page, wondering what was supposed to happen.
You have to dream up the story either way, whether it's for your outline or pantsing, as we call it, when you just write and see where the story takes you.
That sounds terrifying to me, especially in a mystery where I have to set things up and drop clues. I'll try an outline first, I think.
Good idea. Do you want that last oyster?
Philippe was nice to offer, but Kate knew he was dying for it. No, you have it. I don't want to spoil my appetite.
Thanks. Why don't you show me your outline when you get it finished? I can let you know if the structure looks solid and if the story is compelling. That is one benefit of an outline. You can fix that kind of thing before you write the book.
Kate appreciated the offer. It was generous of him, especially considering that she'd told him she didn't want to be more than friends. If you don't mind, I will take you up on that offer.
Chapter 10. Kristen had barely eaten in the past few days since she'd last seen Sean. He'd called the next day as if everything was fine and wanted to make plans to go out again. He'd been shocked and not happy when Kristen firmly told him that she was ending their relationship. It felt like the right decision, but it still felt awful, and she'd been grieving what she'd thought they had. But finally, after 3 days of misery, not eating enough and sleeping too much, she woke Friday morning and felt almost as if the fog had lifted. She had more energy, and she was starving, and there was nothing in her house to eat. She wanted to make a giant omelet and wash it down with many cups of coffee, and she was out of both eggs and coffee. So she had a cup of tea to take the edge off, and then headed downtown to the supermarket to do some grocery shopping. Since she was hungry, she ended up buying twice what she normally would. She lugged the bags out to her Jeep, tossed them in the back seat, and climbed in to drive home. As she sat waiting to pull out of the parking lot onto Main Street, her phone rang. She saw that it was Sean and let it go to voicemail. It immediately rang again, and she saw that it was Kate and went to answer it, but when she picked up the phone, it slipped out of her hands. She swore and reached over to get the phone and took her eyes off the road for 2 seconds. But it was 2 seconds too long. She lifted her foot off the gas slightly, and her car rolled forward and into something. She looked up and swore again. She'd rolled into an old navy Mercedes that was waiting to turn into the parking lot. The driver stopped his car, jumped out, and came around front to assess the damage. And then he came her way. Kristen took a deep breath and got out of the car. It was totally her fault. And there wasn't a lot of damage, but she'd tapped his front bumper, and there was a big scrape that showed the car was once beige. "I'm so sorry," she said.
"You hit me."
The man standing in front of her sounded frustrated, and she didn't blame him. He was also somewhat familiar-looking and very attractive. She didn't think she'd ever seen him on the island before, though.
"Were you texting?"
he accused her. "What? No. My phone rang, and I went to answer and dropped it. I really am sorry. I've never hit anyone before." The stress of the past few days and her growling stomach caught up with her, and Kristen suddenly felt like she might burst into tears. "Let me get my insurance information for you." Her voice cracked as she went to turn back to her car. His voice stopped her.
"Hold on a second. I don't think it's really that bad. It's just a scrape. We might not need to get our insurance companies involved."
"Okay. I'll totally pay for any repairs, though." The driver nodded.
"Why don't we exchange numbers? I'll have a guy I know look at it, and we'll go from there."
He pulled a business card out of his wallet and handed it to her. She glanced at the name. Andrew Everly, the owner of the new art gallery. She fished in her purse for one of her cards and handed it to him. She'd designed her cards herself, and they represented her style, with a swirl of pale, pretty watercolors in the background. He smiled as he looked it over.
"You're an artist." "It's funny, but someone actually mentioned your name to me recently. I looked you up online and liked what I saw. I was planning to reach out to you."
Kristen's jaw dropped. It was the last thing she expected to hear after hitting the man's car. "Thank you. That means a lot to me. My sister, Kate, was at your open house the other night. She was impressed." He thought for a moment.
"She was with Philippe Gaston, right?"
"She was." Andrew tucked her card in his front pocket.
"I'll be in touch after I talk to my car guy. Maybe we can work out a barter arrangement. I'd love to include a painting or two of yours at the gallery, and we could just deduct the cost of the paint job when they sell. It shouldn't be too much. It looks like it will just be a touch-up."
Kristen relaxed a little. That seemed reasonable enough, and it was another opportunity to show her work, which was always a good thing. I'd love that. Thank you. And again, I'm really sorry about your car. He smiled.
It's just paint. We'll talk soon, Kristen.
So how do you feel about being a grandmother?
Sue asked as she and Lisa strolled along Main Street. They just had a quick lunch at Oath Pizza, Lisa's favorite place for pizza on the island. They made it to order by the slice, adding whatever toppings you wanted and passing it through a high-speed oven, so it was almost ready by the time you reached the cash register. They'd had two big slices each and decided to walk it off by window shopping. Lisa found herself slowing down every time they passed a window that had anything baby-related. She came to a full stop in front of a yarn shop where there was a display of the tiniest, cutest baby socks in both pink and blue.
Well, I'm thinking of taking up knitting so I can make socks like those. What does that tell you?
Lisa laughed.
I'm thrilled. It's still very early stage, though, so of course I worry about Abby and the baby's health.
She's under a lot of stress these days.
She and Jeff haven't worked things out yet. I thought they'd be back together by now, with the holidays and all.
I know. I hoped that she would, too. But I think it's more serious than I originally thought. Seems like something has been bothering her for a long time.
Jeff must be over the moon about the baby, though. He has a good reason to work on things now.
Or has she still not told him yet? She's waiting until she's 3 months along. She's hoping that they can work things out by then, and it won't be because of the baby.
I feel for her. My first 3 months with each kid were hell. It must be hard for her to go through that alone.
Sue had three children all grown, but none were married yet.
I know. She has her up and down days, and we've seen more of her than we used to. The girls and I are trying to support her as much as possible. They're all coming over for dinner tonight, actually.
You're lucky that they all live here.
Sue's children all lived off-island in different Boston suburbs.
I know. I didn't think Kate would ever come back, though. It's nice having her here, though I'm not sure how long it will last.
You think she'll go back to Boston?
There's a good chance that she'll have to. Either Boston or New York area, as that's where most of the media jobs are. Unless she can get enough freelance work.
She's working on a book, too, I think you mentioned?
Lisa smiled. She is, a murder mystery. I can't wait to read it. But from what I understand, it's very difficult to get published, so earning a living from books is a long shot. It would be marvelous, though. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for her.
Sue looked thoughtful. Maybe she could self-publish, be an indie author.
Lisa was surprised by the suggestion. Really? I don't know much about that, but I always thought self-publishing was a last resort type of thing.
It used to be, but it's all the rage right now, thanks to Amazon and Apple. I just read something about it recently in the New York Times, and I've discovered some really good new authors this past year that are self-published. A few of them used to be with big publishers and do it themselves now.
How interesting. I'll mention it to Kate. I'll be curious to hear what she thinks and what her plans are for the book once she finishes it. She was quiet for a moment before adding, "She's moving into Paige's place tomorrow. I'm going to miss having her home."
Sue chuckled. Well, she won't be far away. She could walk over to visit you if she wanted to.
I know. Or I could walk there. I could use the exercise.
If she's moving out now, does that mean you have all of your rooms rented already?
Lisa nodded. Yes. Kate posted some information online, and we've had a steady stream of inquiries ever since. I have a couple coming in from London tomorrow evening, and this weekend, three couples are coming to celebrate a 30th anniversary.
Oh, how nice! You'll have a full house.
How's Rhett?
He's great.
He showed me around the restaurant the other day, and it looks like it's going to be really nice. I'm excited for it to open. Sue looked intrigued.
So you're spending a little bit of time with him?
He's a good-looking man. Lisa smiled.
We've become friends. I enjoy his company. I have breakfast with him most mornings, and he joined me for dinner the other night. I thought Kate was going to be there, too, so it's not like it was a date or anything like that.
Lisa had worried that it might be awkward without Kate there that evening, but it hadn't been. She'd had a lovely time sharing her beef stew supper with Rhett. They'd laughed and talked for several hours after they finished eating, and the time had flown by.
But Kate wasn't there? Sue said.
No, she had a date with that writer, Philippe something.
Gaston? The gorgeous French guy?
That's the one. I don't think they're dating anymore, though.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, I think it's actually a very good thing. Kate needs someone more down to earth. She says she's not looking to date anyone for a while. I don't blame her. It must be hard to bounce right back after ending a 2-year relationship.
Well, they say you always find someone when you're not looking. Though, I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Sue looked back at the yarn shop.
Do you want to go inside?
Sure, maybe I will get some yarn. I really wouldn't mind learning how to knit. Do you know how?
Sue laughed at the idea of it. Me? No. I'd be willing to learn with you, though. Maybe we could take a class or something.
When they stepped inside, Lisa marveled at the array of yarn choices and colors. The owner of the shop, Beverly Campbell, was a lovely older woman that Lisa had seen around town for many years. Her eyes lit up when Sue asked if she had any beginner classes.
We have a new session starting up this coming Monday night, if you ladies are interested. We meet here from 6 to 8. The lessons run for 4 weeks, and then you can transition into the knitting club if you like. That's on Tuesday evenings, and it's a nice group of ladies of all skill levels.
Those baby socks in the window, will I learn enough to be able to knit a pair of those? Lisa asked. Beverly smiled.
Of course, and that's a perfect project to start with. Shall we pick out some yarn and needles for you both?
Lisa and Sue exchanged glances, and Sue nodded.
Let's do it, Lisa said.
Sean isn't used to the word no, Kristen said. She dipped a chip in the lemony white bean hummus her mother had just set on the kitchen island and took a quick bite before continuing her story. Kate, Abby, and her mother were all gathered in the kitchen for dinner.
He's still trying to get you to change your mind?
I never liked him much.
I know, Mom, and I think you mentioned that the first week I met him. I should have listened then.
She sighed. I haven't been taking his calls, so he's been leaving long messages with all kinds of promises.
What kind of promises?
Kate asked. Kristen could tell from her tone and expression that she shared their mother's opinion of Sean.
Nothing I haven't heard before. The latest is that he wants to take me to Manhattan for a romantic getaway weekend so we can find each other again.
Abby laughed. I'm sorry, but that is so lame.
He doesn't get it at all, does he?
Kristen nodded sadly.
No, he doesn't. He thinks that spending money on fancy dinners and hotels will win me back. None of his messages mention a thing about moving forward with his divorce.
Maybe you should call him back and tell him to stop calling, Kate suggested gently. Kristen felt a pit in her stomach at the thought of it, but she knew her sister was right.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Have you started writing your book, Kate? Kristen asked. She was eager to change the subject.
Sort of. I'm working on the outline, and I'm almost done with it. Philippe said he'd take a look at it for me to make sure it looks on track before I start the actual writing. But I've already written most of the first 2 chapters, and that helped me figure out the feel of the story. They'll probably change depending on his feedback.
That's nice of him, their mother said.
I was chatting with Sue today, and she mentioned something about self-publishing and that it might be a good idea for you. Have you thought about that at all?
Kate nodded.
I have, actually. The traditional publishing process takes so long, getting an agent and submitting to publishers and waiting to hear back. And then if you get accepted, it's often a year or longer before your book is out there. I thought I might publish this first one myself and see if I can build a reader base. Then maybe consider traditional publishing too, down the road.
How does that work? Wouldn't you be better off with a regular publisher? Kristen asked.
Maybe. It's hard to say. I'm hearing from other writer friends that publisher advances are smaller than they've ever been before, and that you can earn more money, sometimes a lot more money, by doing it yourself.
But you'd have to do everything. Get it edited, have a cover made, market it.
It sounded horrible to Kristen. She hated the business side of making art. But Kate laughed.
I actually like a lot of that stuff, and I've learned about Facebook ads a bit at the magazine. Plus, I know a talented artist. Maybe she could help me make a memorable cover.
Oh, that could actually be really cool. Kristen's mind immediately began to whirl as she pictured various images she could create. I haven't decided on anything for sure, though. I still need to finish the book, make sure it works, and see what Philippe says. I trust his judgment, and I'm grateful he offered to help.
Do you think he'll still be willing to help if you're not dating him?
Abby sounded cynical.
I think he will. He seemed sincere. I really like him, and I think we'll be good friends.
I kind of think of him like a wayward brother.
Speaking of brothers, is Chase dating anyone? He hasn't mentioned any girls lately,
Kristen asked.
I saw him talking to Lauren Snyder for quite a while the other night at the Chicken Box,
Abby said. Everyone turned to look at Abby in surprise.
What were you doing at the Chicken Box?
Kate asked. It was one of the busiest bars on the island with live music and a younger crowd.
Emily dragged me there. She wanted to go hear the band, and she thought it would do me good to get out.
Emily was Abby's best friend and was very much single.
And did it? Did you have fun?
Kristen asked. Abby smiled.
I did, actually. The band was really good, and the place wasn't too packed like it gets in the summer. Chase sat at the bar with Lauren for a long time. They looked deep in conversation, so I didn't want to interrupt. I went to the bathroom, and when I came out, they were both gone, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
That's interesting. He hasn't mentioned her, Kate said.
Didn't he date her a million years ago in high school?
Kristen asked.
Abby laughed. If you can call it that. They went out for a week or two, but never really saw each other outside of school. One of the basketball players asked her to a dance, and she dropped Chase the same day. He was crushed.
Does she live here year-round? I can't picture her, Kate asked.
Abby reached for a chip. She's pretty, has really long blonde hair that always looks like she just had it blown straight, but it's naturally like that. She lives here year-round. After college, she worked in real estate in Boston and then moved home a few years later and opened an office here with her brother. I only know because he's a friend of Jeff's.
That seems risky, their mother said.
Abby nodded. It was actually really smart. Her brother worked for one of the local builders all through school, so he knows a ton of people on the island. Lauren has Boston area connections, people that might be looking to buy or rent on Nantucket. Their office is doing really well.
She doesn't sound like his usual type.
Their mother didn't sound overly enthused about Lauren, and